that I don't have time to really sit down and meditate in the Word of God, think about the Word of God, really let the Word of God have an effect on me. And, you know, we have so little time in the Word of God. We just have so little time. And one day, either the Lord's coming, or we're going to leave this body and go to be with Him. And then we're not going to have anything but time. Time with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And we need to pay a lot more attention to the Word of God than we do. I do, and I'm your pastor. What is the simple, single, basic virus that produces all the manifested symptoms of church family breakups? The failure of individual church members to put on the whole armor of God as their only defense against the power and cunning of the devil. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. My brother Gary doesn't believe there's a devil. He doesn't believe there's a hell. So he doesn't have any problem with the wiles of the devil. I almost think sometimes that some church members don't think there's a devil, because they go tripping through life thinking they're self-sufficient to handle it, completely unaware of it, completely as if their whole lives were something that they controlled, as if it was something that they could handle. Very self-sufficient. I can handle this. I can take care of this. But in reality, there is a spiritual being who has a demonic kingdom on this earth that is much more forceful than that picture of Uncle Sam pointing out of a poster and saying, "I want you." The devil wants the lost to stay lost. Those who are saved, he doesn't want them to be baptized. Those that are baptized and members of God's church, he doesn't want them to put the church first in their hearts and lives. Those that are members of the church and are regular in attendance, he does not want them to get too caught up in what God has to say. He's real. He's genuine. He exists. And he wants nothing more than to thwart the purposes of God, and he does that by thwarting the purposes of God in each one of our individual lives. I went through these things that have to do with the whole armor of God, which involved truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the Word of God, prayer and supplication in the Spirit, a persevering watchfulness and supplicating on behalf of all church members in our prayers. I've already been through truth. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. The loins allow us to walk. Many church members do not continue in the Word of God long enough to be true disciples. Many of them continue for quite a while and then they quit. They never learn enough of God's Word to energize their loins to walk in truth. And they look at somebody like me and they say, "Well, God called you to preach. You're the pastor of this church. I don't have any less of an obligation than you do to be here and to be in place and to listen to God's Word and to learn it. You've got just as much as an obligation as I have, and I have just as much as an obligation as you have." The unhappiness in my life since I've been saved has always been self-inflicted. It's always been because I got out of God's Word, because I got out of service. Righteousness, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, I covered this last week. The breastplate was supposed to protect the heart. Many church members do not continue in the Word of God long enough to let the righteousness of Christ in their hearts guide their conduct. They never learn enough of God's Word to excite them to compete for the greatest prize a heart can spiritually conceive. And I went through all those things and covered them in detail. Now this morning, I'm going to cover the gospel of peace. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of Christ is a gospel of salvation. But this was written to save people. It's talking about something that they are supposed to outwardly put on after they've been inwardly saved. And it says your feet shod, like you'd put horseshoes on or covered with cloth, with leather. Shod with the preparation. This is something that is a preparation in the life of a child of God. The gospel of peace. There are a lot of saved people that never find any peace in their lives. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of peace. It's supposed to help you find peace. I found peace. Whether or not I continue to find peace, whether or not I continue to maintain that attitude in my life, whether or not it becomes better or worse, it's going to be dependent upon how much of the Word I learn and how much of it I practice, how much I'm interested in, and how much of this good news about Christ I let permeate my way of thinking and my attitude. Peace is an attitude of mind. Peace is not determined by the circumstances around you. So many people, when they have a good wife or a good husband, a good home, good children, good job, and everything seems to be going well, the circumstances around them seem to be just ideal from every human perspective, they say, I really feel at peace. I feel good. I can just inside, I'm just relaxed, and the whole world is my oyster. But that's a peace that is of the world, that's based on external circumstances that surround you. And the truth of the matter is that that condition is a temporary condition that does not last very long and always comes to an end. The gospel of peace is a peace and a rest and assurance that is firmly and solidly grounded in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. My mother is dying in the hospital. Brother George, whom I love dearly, is in the hospital in Russellville. Sister Barnes has fallen and hurt herself. There are many things going on in my life right now. It's a constant whirl of activity, a constant source of concern, and yet I have an inward security and peace that knowing that I'm saved by a resurrected Christ who loved me and gave himself for me, who is just in every way, and that no matter what happens to my mother, my brother, this church, myself, it really doesn't matter, because I have the absolute assurance that he is not only the God of love, but a God of justice and a God of equality. And whatever happens, I know that my Savior is going to work it out in the very best way. It's not a question of thinking or suspecting. It's a question of knowing. This church roll has a lot of people on it. It has some very unhappy people on it. It has some people that don't have any peace. And the reason they don't have any peace is because they've never really gotten to know how really gracious God is, how really merciful God is, and they've never really put their hope in the future. It's always been in right now. If their husband is giving them a hard time, they don't have any peace. If their wife's giving a hard time, they don't have any peace. If their children are giving them a hard time, they don't have any peace. And instead of learning to deal with the realities and the hardness of life, instead of dealing with poor employers, bad work situations, they let their whole life be governed by the external circumstances around them rather than letting their whole idea of happiness and joy be based on the inward awareness that there's someone living in them who understands. There's someone who's placed them and himself in heaven. There's someone who's watching over them and caring for them. And no matter what happens in their lives, they have the absolute assurance of an eternal peace and security with Christ that is right there in their future and just as certain as the fact that they're drawing breath at the present time, even more so. This thing about the gospel of peace that you put on your feet is an interesting thing. Our feet make more contact with the earth than any other part of our body. This contact with the earth can be either along the path of peace or of unhappiness and tribulation. I want to stop here and get off the subject just a moment and ask a question. Any of you can answer it. Shirley probably could answer it. All my life, I've wondered whether to say either or either. And all my life, I've said either. Is there a special time that you say either and a special time you say either? Does anyone know? Because I just said, well, I don't know which one is which, and I like either better, so I'm just going to say either. But I've done that for so long, I thought maybe some of you all knew, and, huh?
Either.
Well, I've heard people say either, and I've heard some people, sometimes they'd say either, sometimes they'd say either, and I thought, well, one of these days I'm just going to ask some people. So you all are just as dumb as I am. This contact with the earth can be either along the path of peace or of unhappiness and tribulation. Many family church members do not continue long enough in the Word of God to understand the joy of the steps of peace in a world of heartfelt trials. They fall short of grasping the peace that Christ left to the first New Testament church members. June's had a rough life. She's got a rough life right now. She's got a hard home life. She's had it for years. Yet I think she's probably one of the best Sunday school teachers we have. She's always here. She's always faithful. She's just a very steady, consistent person. Now, I'm sure that June has a lot of inner conflicts, and I'm sure that at times she's very sad and she's very depressed. But I know that in her, I can say that she understands. You've got to learn that God's good news, that's what the gospel means, is not just good news of salvation. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. That's what a lot of people have in life. They get saved and they say, wow. And the night they get saved, the day they get saved, the time they get saved, they say, wow, I don't have to go to hell. And that night, they're happy. And for the next short period of time, they're happy. But they never come to understand that it's not just good news about not going to hell. It's not just good news about one day I'm going to end up in heaven. It's a gospel of peace. It's good news of the fact you can have peace right now in this life as an attitude of mind. When the Bible says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Look at what he had. He had no money. He had a bunch of ragtail guys following him all over, everywhere he went. He had to actually trust his heavenly Father to provide everything for him as he went from place to place. He ended up with men rejecting him, laughing at him, ridiculing him, even though he kept on producing miracles. And finally, one day, he gets rejected, beaten, and crucified. And yet, he always had that inner peace with God. Why? Because he understood the greatness and the magnificence and the wonder of his heavenly Father. If you don't come to understand that God's peace is a peace that is inward, that allows you to have that attitude in any circumstance, you go through life in a very unhappy condition. They fall short of grasping the peace that Christ left to the first New Testament church members. These were members of the first New Testament church. It's just as valid a promise to you. It's the gospel of peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Some of you have lost husbands. Some of you have lost wives. Some of you may have lost children. Some of you have lost jobs. Some of you have lost the joy of living, the happiness that comes in existing down here for a purpose. You know, there's a song. When Imogene and I were going together, there was a song that was very popular. Three coins in the fountain, which one will the fountain bless? Three coins in the fountain, somewhere in the heart of Rome. Three coins in the fountain, each one seeking happiness. And then in the story, the movie, it showed the lives of three women. And they found their happiness by finding their Prince Charming, handsome, debonair, just the kind of man they were looking for. And as the movie ended, it showed them all walking off into the sunset, and they all live happily ever after. Not as the world giveth. Oh, no. No. Husbands die. Wives die. Children die. Children are disappointment. Husbands are disappointments. Wives are disappointments. Families are disappointments. Jobs are disappointments. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, you sound very morbid this morning. I'm very happy. But I have learned not to live on the happiness that the world provides, because that's the kind that the world gives and it leaves. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Brother George probably is not going to be with us much longer. Wouldn't it be terrible if Sister George were sitting here this morning and there was no life after death? Wouldn't it be terrible if that wasn't true? She loves him very much. But she can have peace. She cannot let her heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because she'll see Tut again. Alan will see Vivian again. You'll see Lynn again. All these things are true. You'll see John again. So you see, you've got to let your life be built upon a premise of the peace of the good news that Jesus brought. We started back here with a very simple verse of Scripture. Didn't seem to be much to it. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Didn't say gospel of salvation. Gospel means good news. After you've received the good news of salvation, put on something. Put it on. Wear it. Walk in it. Live in it. Practice it. Understanding that your happiness is based on the promises of God. It's not based on what the world offers. So don't let your heart be troubled. Will your heart be troubled? Why, certainly. If it wasn't going to be troubled, he wouldn't have told you that. But he said, when it starts to be troubled, don't let it be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. When he walked on the water and headed toward the ship, he said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. If I sound morbid this morning, sorry, I don't mean to be. I'm very happy about all this, because the truth of the matter is, my hope is in the future promises of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, this gospel of peace is an interesting gospel. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the peace and the absolute assurance that we're going to heaven. That's the inward certainty that He will never leave us nor forsake us. It's all through Jesus. But there is another peace that follows, by whom also, here's something additional that we have by Christ. We have access by faith into this grace, this unmerited favor wherein we stand. I've been standing in Christ ever since the night I was saved, and I'll be standing in Christ forever. But I have access within this place where I stand to a rejoicing and hope of the glory of God. When Mom dies, she goes to be with the Lord. I rejoice in that. When Tud dies, he goes to be with the Lord. I rejoice in that. When Sister George dies, she goes to be with the Lord. I rejoice in that. I rejoice in that in every one of your lives. It would be very hard to give you all up, and it would be very easy for me to be discouraged about the trials and tribulations in your life if I was not acutely aware of the fact that you have the same Savior I have, and you have the same future I have, and you have the same ability to rejoice in hope of the peace that is eternal in Christ. And not only so. Now here we come to this peace thing. The gospel of peace, the good news of peace. Some people let tribulation destroy them. We've had members of this church that it breaks my heart. My heart goes out to them, and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've prayed to try to get them to understand this premise, this principle. It's not a premise. It's a God-given principle, and they simply will not grasp it. They run away from it. When I try to talk to them about it, they hide from it. They don't want to listen to it. And I sometimes think they love to be miserable. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Why? Because tribulation, trials in life, work patience. They work endurance. You've got a wayward son, you learn to live with it. You learn to pray about it. You learn to let it draw you closer to God instead of driving you away from God. You learn to let that trial be the strength in your life and thank God for the opportunity to have it so that you can work endurance, so that you become a better child of God, so that you have more strength, so that you have more patience, so that you're able to deal with life better. Don't let tribulation destroy you. Don't let work situations destroy you. Don't let marital situations destroy you. Don't let your children destroy you. Don't let anything destroy you in life, because this is just a little short temporal stay. Well, what good does it have to have patience, hypomene, endurance, and patience experience? I don't have as much experience as Sister George and Brother George and Sister Barnes and Sister Clements. They've been around longer than I have. But I've learned something. Every tribulation in my life, every single one, God has eventually delivered me from. Sometimes He does it quickly. Sometimes He does it over a reasonably short period of time. Sometimes it's after a while. And sometimes it takes a long, long, long time. But finally, God always delivers me. Always. I learn endurance. I learn patience from it. Then I have an experience. You can't have an experience of a trial and tribulation until it's past. People say, experience is the best teacher. I agree. Experience is the best teacher. And so what did you learn from your experience? You learned that the problem you had with your husband passed. You learned that the problem you had with your wife passed. You learned the problem with your children passed. You said, but my son was killed. Yeah. And you got an experience from it. And it passed. Things don't always turn out like Hansel and Gretel stories. But the one thing we can do is gain experience from it. And experience, what do we learn out of experience? Once we've had the experience, once we know that God will eventually end the problem, we have hope. What is hope? Hope is based on experience. You don't have much hope until you've had an experience. You can have faith, and then the faith itself is made stronger in tribulation because it's an enduring faith. And out of the experience with an enduring faith, it grows into a living hope. Here's my hope. When I was first saved, I didn't know what God would deliver me from. God can deliver me from everything. That's a living hope. I know now He'll deliver me, and my hope is completely in Him. I know He's going to take His time sometimes, but I know that through experience. And hope maketh not ashamed. Now, if you listen to what I had to say, I think you'll have to admit that I've praised God. I've given God all the credit, the recognition, and attention in all this, and made the whole point of everything I said that God is the central focus of everything I've said. And the reason for that is, hope maketh not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of God. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Some people think if you just stand and get honest enough and sincere enough and really give it all you've got and just pour your whole body, soul, and spirit into that prayer, that all of a sudden, oh, I feel it, I feel it. Oh, and you feel the love of God just pouring through you. That's baloney. I'll tell you how you feel the love of God pouring through you. When you've gone through a period of tribulation, by the grace of God you've endured through it, because you have access by faith into this grace. By the grace of God you endure it. Out of that endurance comes the experience of deliverance by God, which gives you a living hope that God will always deliver you from every trial. And that's the love of God which is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost right now while I'm teaching you this. I know that's true. It's based on tribulation. It's based on experience. It's based on hope. Faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There are a lot of people over the years who came here, who listened for a while. I bear them no malice. But what they wanted was 3 points, a poem, a cloud of dust, and Hi-Ho Silver Away. They wanted somebody that would give them something that would make them feel good that morning, would lift them up, put them on a spiritual high, and go home feeling good. But the truth of the matter is, a spiritual high is something that comes through a lot of tribulation, a lot of trial, a lot of endurance, and a lot of testing. And people that don't want that don't usually stay here very long, because all that I have to offer is what God offered to me and to all men. What the Word of God says, and the truth of life. People think that Christianity ought to be a joyous, happy, bubbly experience. It is inwardly. In the midst of trial, you can be happy and rejoice and have a complete inner peace. That's the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The loins, the breast, and the feet have been pictured as being protected by the armor of truth, righteousness, and the gospel of peace. But faith is portrayed as a movable shield that can be manipulated to protect any part of our being. It is the shifting of our faith to these areas of our life where we are immediately being tested that delivers us by the power of God. Many church members will not shift their faith to meet each new area of testing in their lives. Consequently, they're delivered from the testing by growing faith in God. Those of you who are members of this church that have stayed with the Lord here, and I was just kidding you, Rosie, about off again, on again. I love you, Rosie, and I understand you. But all of you sitting here, you've been, you know, the truth about life is you can't deal with it without a growing faith in God. It's impossible. You've got to have a growing faith in God. And speaking of a growing faith in God, and since that's Ephesians 6:16 and it's a quarter till, Lord willing, that's where I'll start next Sunday. I wonder if John and